Merry Christmas. God's grace and his mercy and his peace be with you today from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Amen. Well, one of my favorite Christmas carols is, O Come All Ye Faithful, O Come Let Us Adore Him. Don't you love that one? Whenever I sing that one, I just picture this great royal procession in heaven with all the saints praising him with palm branches in their hands and walking down the aisle as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all are bowing as he passes, going up for the great coronation of the crowning before the Father, the King of Kings. And it's just a beautiful picture for me whenever I sing that hymn. And I can just picture the angels on that day long ago singing and calling to all the world, saying, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of Angels. And we answer, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I'm not up here today or any day to tell you just cute little stories with nice little anecdotes, but to preach to you a person, Jesus Christ, through whom you were made and came into being, and who has redeemed you and given you life through his death and resurrection, and through your faith in him. So Jesus is royalty. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We also know him as the one born of the virgin, according to the prophecy from Isaiah, to be born of a virgin. We know him as our Savior and as a Redeemer. We know him as our Lord and as our King. Today I want to ask this question, though. Was Jesus really God himself, though, in the flesh? Was he really God here with us? Of course, I believe that, but we hear a lot of times people will challenge. I've heard people challenge, at least one person in particular, I remember challenging me on this, saying, Jesus never claimed to be God. That's just something that the church cooked up years and years later at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Jesus never thought of himself this way. That's all just a crazy notion. When will you Christians give up this crazy idea that Jesus was God or thought he was God? Well, it's not a crazy notion. It's the truth. And today I'd like to share with you why we believe that, why the apostles believe that, why the scriptures teach that to you so clearly, so that we can be confirmed and encouraged and strengthened in the certainty of our faith that God himself really has come to be with us and loves us, and Yahweh is present with you today in your life. So, what can we say about Jesus? Well, first off, we do need to acknowledge that the Son and the Father are two distinct persons, all right? They are able, as we see in John 12, to have a conversation with each other. So we see, for example, in verse 27 and following, Jesus says, Now is my soul troubled, just before he goes to the cross, that time. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. So, was Jesus talking to himself when he was praying? Oh, Jesus, speak with me, speak back with me. No, he's actually, the Son is speaking with the Father. So Christians always acknowledge that there are two distinct persons in the one God, actually three, the Holy Spirit as well, the Father and the Son. But we also acknowledge and confess that they are one. Remember what Jesus said when he was speaking in John chapter 10? He says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? That the Father and the Son are one. Now you might say, oh yeah, but really, that just means that they're kind of one, like they're together, like they're on the same page. They're hanging out. They got the same mindset. There's one problem with that kind of an interpretation. You know what that problem is? Yep, there we come again. Context. Here's the problem with that. We read going on. It says, after he says, I and the Father are one, the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? The Jews answered, it's not for a good work that we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. So if Jesus were just saying, hey, wait, no, wait, people, I'm just saying we're on the same page. I'm just saying I agree with God's will. Would they have taken up stones to stone him? No, because that would have been fine. But they stoned him because they were understanding what he was really saying when I and the Father are one. It's for blasphemy. They're saying, you are a man and you're making yourself God. And so they wanted to kill him for that. And does Jesus just back off and apologize? No. Just a couple verses later, they say, he says, but if I do the works of God, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. And they tried to arrest him. Excuse me, I'm getting on to the other one here. Oh, I wanted to go to, yeah, sorry, in John chapter 8, excuse me. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And we're going to pick that up in just a few minutes. But let's see if we can look also at some of the things that Jesus did. See if those can help us to see about Jesus being God. We might open up, for example, to Mark chapter 4. And here we read that there was a great storm at sea. A great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care if we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And they were all filled with awe and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now Jesus is able to command the wind and the sea. Why? Because he's God. In fact, if we look at Psalm 107, listen to this. It says, Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, those who were in distress at sea. He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Now I want to ask you, in that psalm, who is calming the sea, making them still, and bringing people to their desired haven? The Lord. And it doesn't just say the Lord in that psalm. Lord, LOD, which is the translator's way of saying Yahweh. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Yahweh does this thing. And here we see Jesus fulfilling that. And not only that, but the whole psalm. The rest of the psalm, Yahweh, the Lord, feeds the people in the wilderness. He brings prisoners out of darkness. He heals the sick. He calms the storm. All these things, friends, are pointing to Jesus. Remember, it's Yahweh in this psalm, and it's Yahweh himself, Jesus, in the flesh, doing these things, proving his own identity. Who then is this that even commands the wind and the sea? It's Yahweh himself, present with his people. We could also look just a page before that. If you have your Bible open, you can turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And we read there, And immediately in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed and questioned among themselves, What is this? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So what do we learn there? Jesus has the power to command demons to come out. You might say, well, true, but don't we have that power too? Yeah, that's been given to us. We can cast out demons. The apostles did that. But they don't come crying out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God, right? What do we know about that word, the Holy One of God? Well, you can look it up, Isaiah 17, verse 7. In that day, men will regard their Maker and look on the Holy One of Israel. Who's the Holy One of Israel? Their Maker, right? The one through whom they were made. Isaiah 43, for I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43. So when this demon looks at him and says, I know you who you are, the Holy One of God, who's he saying? Oh my goodness, this is the Prince of Peace himself. This is Yahweh in the flesh. I know who you are. And so there's another reason to believe. Here's another one in Mark chapter 2. Actually, we're all in Mark here. Wow. Got a lot of good things here. Mark chapter 2. They came bringing to Jesus a paralytic carried by four men, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak thus? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then Jesus shows that he can do that by raising the man from the dead, and he has authority to forgive sins. Who can, once again, why do the Jews want to kill Jesus? Because he was healing people? Well, he healed them on the Sabbath. They didn't like that very much. But they wanted to kill him always for blasphemy, because here he is, a man making himself God and making himself equal with God. John says in his letter, this was why the Jews sought to kill him. Not only because he broke the Sabbath, but because he called God his Father, making himself equal with God. That word in the Greek is isos, equal in dignity and in ultimately essence with God. So they wanted to kill him. We also learn that Jesus was there in the beginning. What man could it be said this? Colossians 1, Paul says, for in him, in Jesus, all things were created, in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things. In him all things hold together. What man could you have who's just any other man? Have that said of him, that in him all things hold together. Is that true of you? Are you the glue that makes the universe hold together? You know, scientists still don't know exactly why things don't just explode and go out. You know, the atom, if you can part it, like we learned with the atom bomb, has so much energy, it's just a little tiny atom, you can just wipe out whole cities. There's as much power in a tree, they say, to generate enough energy for the United States to exist for up to 70 years. There's enough in a grain of salt to sustain your household for 3 months. Energy in the atoms. But how do they get held together? Well, we hear here that in Jesus, in this man, all things hold together. How could this be unless he were God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the Father. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who's that? Jesus. The Word of God. You have on the first page of the Bible, the Father, Creator, with the Holy Spirit hovering, and Jesus, the one through whom all things were made. First three verses of the Bible, you meet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Another one, this I think is even better than the others. Jesus receives worship. Remember what happens here? In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who was blind. And afterwards, Jesus found him after the Pharisees had cast him out. And he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Isn't that an amazing word? He worshiped Jesus. And what did Jesus do? What are you doing, man? Don't go worshiping me. Worship God. No, he didn't say that. He accepted it. And he just goes on and speaks toward the Pharisees, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. What do we read when Peter goes to Cornelius? And it says, Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshiped Peter, and Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I too am a man. Paul and Barnabas, when they healed, the priest of Zeus wanted to offer sacrifice, and they said, men, why are you doing this? We also are men of like nature with you. When the angel was speaking to John in Revelation, John fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed these things to him. But the angel said to him, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brethren the prophets and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And yet when someone falls down to worship at Jesus' feet, he says, good. He basically just receives it and says, this is a right, good, and honorable thing. He could not do that, friends. That would be blasphemy, unless indeed he were Yahweh himself with us. And we can actually show that Jesus is Yahweh himself with us. What do we read here? This is what I tried to do earlier. It's jumping around. John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus is again contending with the Jews. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews then said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him. But Jesus went away. Why was that such an offensive word? Well, if we look at in Exodus, I'll actually read it. I have it right here. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and lo, the bush was burning, and it was not consumed. Who is this again? Let's go. The angel of the Lord, right? In the bush? Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw, he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Who called him out of the bush? God. I thought it was the angel of the Lord in the bush. The angel of the Lord, God, is calling to him out of the bush. Jesus is often the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And it says here, he calls Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Don't come near. Put off the shoes from your feet, for the place upon which you're standing is holy ground. And the angel said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look at God. Are you with me? Angel, God, calling, says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he says, you're going to go to Egypt. And Moses says, how are they going to believe me? When I get there, what should I tell them is your name, so that when I go there, I can say, this name of this God sent me. And we read there, it says, then Moses said, if I come to the people, to the Israel, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask, what's his name? What shall I say? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Before Abraham was, I am. And that's why they took up stones to stone him, because they realized he's saying, I am Yahweh. I am the angel of the Lord that was in the bush. And Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What a great proof for us today of Jesus' person and his identity. This was blasphemous for the Jews. But consider, he not only said that there, I am, he says also, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And if you look up in the Old Testament, the first and the last, in Isaiah 41, we read, it says, I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. Who is that speaking? If you look it up in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh himself. So Jesus is saying, I am Yahweh. What a great proof we have. And you could also look at his other names in the Bible, which we know very well. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, say it with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the one for to whom we're to look and for whom we're to look. The one who is mighty God. A child, a son, is going to have a name, Mighty God. And in the very next chapter, Isaiah chapter 10, says, Jacob will no more lean upon him that smote them, but will lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. And that is irrefutable, and that to read that that is speaking, God himself is speaking. A mighty God, and Jesus' name is Mighty God. And we read in Isaiah 7, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman, a virgin, shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What fantastic news that God loves you this much to come and be even one of us and take on flesh. And as if all this were not enough, we're going to look at one more very briefly. In John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I rest my case. Can you get any simpler than that? The Word is Jesus. And the scriptures say the Word was God. Even if every other thing you had some doubt about, which you shouldn't, but even if you did, that's enough to conclude it right there. And in John chapter 20, we read when Thomas is doubting. 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them. The doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Remember those words. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." What is he saying there when Thomas calls him his God? What does he say? You are now no longer faithless. Now you are believing. He doesn't say, "No, Thomas, you got it all wrong." No, no, no. It's go after God, not me. No, he says, "Now you are believing. And blessed are those who've not seen me and yet believe." Do you believe today? Can you say that to Jesus, "My Lord and my God"? Following Thomas's words, well, praise be to God. Jesus is Yahweh himself with us. And what does that mean for us? You know what that means? That means that God loves you with an everlasting love, that he desires to be with you, that the same God who has the power to stretch out the heavens and to create the sun into which you can fit a million earths and to create other stars into which you can fit millions of suns has the power to create all things, and all things were made through Jesus, for Jesus, and yet he loves you to come and take on flesh, to be not only your Father and your Savior, but also your brother, and to be with you, and to love you, and to keep you, and to plan to highly exalt you, saying, "Come on up and sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." So today we rejoice, and I want you to rejoice for the rest of this year and for the rest of your life that he is Emmanuel, God with us, God always with you in faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll please stand and let's rejoice in our God with the hymn Joy to the World, page 9.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, or thorns infest the ground. Comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
You may be seated.
Rejoicing in the incarnation, that's taking on flesh, of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs.